Love Talk Radio.
Word Sexy Radio. Word Sexy Radio. Welcome to Word Sexy Radio for Monday, March 1st, 2010. I'm your host, Red Snapper, coming to you live from Kansas City, as I'll be doing every Monday at 6 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. We got a fantastic show for you today. And we're going to have our best-selling author, Shay Nolan, author of the novels Tell Me No Lie and Everything You Owe Me. She'll be coming on. And matter of fact, I think I got her right now. Hello, Shay, are you there?
I'm here. Hey, Red.
How you doing, Shay? How's it going? Welcome to Word Sexy Radio.
Thanks.
How's things going for you today?
I'm going well. Thanks for asking. How about yourself?
I'm doing just fine now that we're on the line and we're talking. We definitely want to find out what's going on with you and how everything is going in the literary game for you. So we'll start off with tell us a little bit about your novels that you have out.
Well, the first novel that I have out, the one on the Holly Grove Publishing label, is called Everything You Owe Me. It's a story about two cousins named Tasha and Danae. They're best friends who support each other or try to support each other any way that they can. Their lives seem to be like night and day, at least on the surface. Danae has a great career, a loving husband, a baby on the way. Her life seems like a fairy tale until some secrets come out where her life is thrown into turmoil. Tasha.
It's always those secrets, you know, when they come out, it just brings it all out, doesn't it?
It does. It really does.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut in. You can go ahead and finish your explanation.
That's okay. Tasha is the cousin who's actually going through the turmoil up close and personal. She's going through everything. Her life is far from perfect. Her husband's coming home, keeping late hours, making the excuse that he's at work. She's starting to see their relationship change. And even though deep inside in her gut, her instinct tells her that he's cheating on her, that he's doing something that he's not supposed to be doing, but she, you know, overlooks it because she loves him and she's willing to fight for her marriage by any means necessary.
I know that's right. Well, that sounds like a very good novel, and I had a chance to read that novel, so I'm going to tell you, I thought it was a great book, excellent book. And I don't read a lot of other authors because, you know, myself, I write, and because of the writing that I do, I try to keep a lot of my thoughts away from other people's thoughts and what they're writing so they won't intermingle. So, but I had to read your book because it intrigued me, and I thought it was quite a great book. And I know that your upcoming projects that you have are going to be absolutely magnificent also, which we'll get into in a few minutes. But tell us, how did you get interested in writing these great books that you do?
Well, I've always wanted to write ever since I was a little girl, ever since I could pick up a pen and scribble things on a piece of paper. And being an avid reader and my love of books only spurred that fire to write on because I liked reading and seeing, you know, other writers put things on paper, allowing their imagination to run free. And, you know, it's just something I've always wanted to do.
Okay. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, from my experience of writing, and I know that it's to me, it's like a high, and that's probably taking it over the edge when I say that. But to me, I like the fact that you can be creative and you can be able to kind of guide the work the way you want it to go. And you're especially when you're doing it in a narrative aspect, because you can guide it and take it any kind of way you want and make the things happen. And you know, making it believable for people is very challenging. So I like doing it, and I'm sure you do. Can you tell us a little bit about, yourself as far as you as a person? Because I know that you seem to be, you know, me knowing you for a little while, it seems that you're kind of a shy person. So the reason why I want to ask that is because of the drama that you wrote in this book. I mean, how did you get all this information to bring it out? You know what I'm saying? Because you seem very shy, you know what I'm saying? And then now when I read this drama in this book, I'm like, wow, where did all this come from? So tell us a little bit about that.
I am pretty shy. I'm really, you know, laid back. It takes me a minute to, you know, just warm up to people and get to talking. But once I start talking, it seems like I don't stop. But, you know, that's just me in general. I'm really reserved and laid back. My personality is like that. I'm not really, you know, the boisterous, you know, out in the open, just wanting to bring a lot of attention to myself. I've always been that way, preferring to kind of, you know, stay in the background of things. But the idea for Everything You Owe Me actually came up from friends and marriages that are in marriages that I've seen and marriages that I've heard about. Sometimes, you know, fiction, you take certain things from reality and put it in there. And there's a lot of drama that goes on when there's a commitment involved in relationships. So it's funny to see the extremes that people will go to.
Well, you know, it's something that you said there because a lot of times, you know, when you're out, and I'm sure this is the questions have come to you for people who have read your book, the first thing they want to ask you is, how much is this about you? You know, it seems like people think that when you come up with such subjects that it has to be something true or something, especially when you write it in a way that makes it sound as if it was real life. So the first thing they want to ask you is, well, how much of this is you and where are you in the book? But, and then when you tell them that it's not true, all this is just made up, they seem to not believe it. Do you get that kind of feedback when you talk to some of your fans?
I get that an awful lot. I get people that say, you know, that really couldn't happen, you know, or, you know, with fiction, that's the great thing about fiction. You can stretch your imagination as far as it will go. And the things that may not be conceivable in real life, in fiction, it is conceivable.
That's right.
That's the point of exciting people. That's the point of stimulating the readers, is things that you're like, okay. And then some of the things can happen, and it makes you think on both ends of the spectrum. So, but I get that a lot. I get that a lot.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm telling you, it's something, especially with the genre of books that I write. You know, a lot of people want to know about some of the activities that go on in the book and how did you come up with those things. But, you know, like I said, when you said the thing about fiction, you can take fiction, you can make things happen and make it believable, and not necessarily mean that you experience it. You know, like there's
right.
some different things that I wrote in my second novel that had to do with a guy being on the down low. I am not that way, never been that way, never wanted to do that. But just because you haven't experienced something doesn't mean you can't write about it. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
You know, a lot of people look at that and they say, well, how did you come up with that art? Do you have that secret life? No, I don't. It's just, you know, something that you, as a great writer, you have to be able to take something and be able to make it happen in your books and make it believable. That's the craft of it. And you've done that quite well in your book. Also, I noticed that you did a self-published book called Tell Me No Lies, and you have one that's coming out that I am anxious to get called Greedy. But before you start
right.
talking about Greedy, let's get into Tell Me No Lies. Tell me about that.
Okay. Tell Me No Lies basically was about a young lady named Candace who had everything that she could ever want. She was a successful black female, money in the bank, a wonderful job as an interior decorator. She had everything going for herself. She just wanted somebody to share it with. She was looking for Mr. Right. She thought she had found it in one gentleman named Kevin, but him being a player, not wanting to get out of the game, he was playing with her heart, playing with her mind, but she was still relentlessly pursuing him until her best friend and her confidant introduced her to another guy named Dorian, who's church-going. You know, he's on the other end of the spectrum from Kevin, where he treats her like a lady. He's attentive to her needs, but she's blowing him off at first. But to make a long story short, she gets involved with both men. She ends up pregnant. Of course, it's a who's the baby daddy type scenario, and then a stalker comes into play that has an obsession with one of the men in the book.
Right. Oh, wow, I love that. I love that. See, that's why me and you need to sit down and come up with a novel together. I would love to collaborate with you on something like that, because the drama is absolutely magnificent. And like I said, you don't have to actually experience it to know it. You can see it all around you because it's happening around all the time. But
right.
we'd like to take this time right now to those who have any questions for our guest. The number is 347-215-8539. So call in and let's talk to Shay and ask her some questions, because this is a phenomenal woman that I had a chance to meet, and I'm glad that I met, and she's going places in the literary world. So, okay, Shay, now that you've got that, do you have anything in the book that you would like to read, or just kind of, I know you gave us a synopsis of the story, but is there anything that really stuck out in there that you really want to kind of only bring it out the way the author wanted to bring it out?
Okay, well, I mean, there is a section in the story where my character, Danae, she has some kind of, it's a familial conflict going on in the novel as well, where she's having, you know, a battle of wills with her younger sister, and she finds out that she's pregnant, so she's going over to announce the pregnancy to her mother and her younger sister. And I'll go ahead and start at that point.
Okay.
Just let me know when you're ready.
You just go ahead and start, babe. You got all the time you need. Go ahead.
Okay. I was a bundle of nerves when I pulled up in front of my mother's rent-style home in Denton, a suburb outside of Dallas and a 20-minute drive from my house. There was never a time that I could visit and get a warm reception from my sister, Kima. At least Gina tried to be cordial when she was around, but her visits were becoming less since she met and started dating a corporate attorney who was becoming a, surrogate father to my 3-year-old niece and 7-year-old nephew. So if you hear it pause, you know I'm kind of turning the page. He was good to her, and maybe he was the reason for her slight change in attitude. I rubbed a small bump on my belly as I stood in front of the door and rang the doorbell. "Here goes nothing, little bit," I said, talking down in my stomach. The door opened, and there stood Kima, hands on her hips and fire in her eyes. "Well, well, well, look at what the cat done drug in. Mother, your oldest daughter is here," she called out, looking behind her into the house. "Is this girl ever happy?" I thought to myself. She was way too pretty to be so mean all the damn time. And if she didn't cut it out, my 6-year-old niece would have the same attitude. But for now, she was still cheerful, happy, and surprisingly well-adjusted. That was evident as she flew past her mom and gripped me in a hug. "Auntie Dee, tell her to you too, little sister," I said to Kima, and then turned my attention to my niece. "Hey, Tiani Pie, you're getting so pretty and so big." I looked down into her little face, taking note that she was looking more and more like her mother every day, and a little like me too. We all had the same pale brown skin, big eyes, and round faces. The only thing that Tiani had that we didn't was a dimple in her chin, courtesy of her dad. "Thank you, Auntie Dee. Did you bring me something?" Kima swatted her on her behind. "Little girl, what have I told you about begging? Get your little ass in the house and sit down somewhere. Matter of fact, go to your room." Tiani's big eyes filled with tears. "Yes, ma'am." She gave me one more hug and headed back into the house. I brushed past Kima since she hadn't made a move to invite me in. "Damn, do you have to be so mean to her all the time, Kima?" "Don't start. She's my child, not yours," she said, following behind me. "When you have some kids, then you can voice your opinion." A smart remark was on the tip of my tongue, but I held it back when I saw my mother coming down the hallway. She looked thinner than the last time I saw her. "There's my baby," my mama said, kissing me on the cheek as she stood back to look at me like she hadn't seen me in years. "Hey, mama, you feeling okay?" She moved her hand like she was flouting away an annoying fly and said, "Shoot, you know I have my good days and my bad days, but that's to be expected from an old gal like myself." She smiled, displaying a beautiful set of white teeth, and even at 58 years old, she was still a lovely woman who'd passed her looks on to her daughters and her son, who was devastatingly handsome. "You're not old, Mama. You're just like fine wine. You just keep getting better." And I guess I'm going to stop right
there. Go ahead. Well, I mean, if you want to keep on, we're going to let you read some more. But I just have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is very great to me. I enjoyed it, okay? Now, this is like contemporary fiction that you write. Have you thought about other genres of writing that you would like to get into, or is this something that you kind of want to stick to as you go forth in your growth in your writing?
I mean, I'm really looking to, you know, kind of expand my writing and the genres I write in. I like supernatural things, and I like.
So you want to get into paranormal or something like that?
Exactly.
I'm glad
you
said
that.
Okay.
My fiance, who passed in 2006, he wrote a book that was based on super. It was like a supernatural thriller, romance supernatural thriller, and I enjoyed it. It just kind of opened the door to something different, something new, and I'm really looking to delve into that. I'm interested in that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry that your fiance passed. Well, let me ask you this then. So since you're thinking about doing that, you know, I kind of thought about something in that genre myself in the paranormal. I know that's kind of hot right now in the literary world as far as the paranormal and the vampires and, you know, that type of thing, the love stories that the vampire scene has kind of brought in anyway with Dracula and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's always been that he was seductive and, you know, he would always come up the way he would get his prey, and of course it'd be a woman, and the way he would do that. I mean, I wanted to do something like that, and of course I wanted to make it more erotic because, you know, that's the genre I'm in right now. But I also thought about doing some mysteries and stuff like that too, but that would be a hot book because I know that, like I said, you got all these other ones with Stephanie Myers and her I forget the name of the series that she has out there, but you know, with the Twilight series, that's it, that she has out there and stuff like that. So, well, that'd be good. So, did he get to publish that book before, or are you going to try to get that published, or?
He actually self-published that book along with my book, Tell Me No Lies.
Okay.
I believe there's still a few copies in circulation, but yeah, I was like, okay, that's something I could definitely get into in the near future. I'm interested in seeing where I can take it as far as a paranormal experience or, you know, supernatural, on the supernatural realm of things. So.
Okay, so where would the setting be if you decide to do something like that? Because, you know, a lot of people always try to use different areas like the big cities like New York or you know, something like Atlanta or something like that. What setting would you think that you might consider that you would use in doing something like this?
I don't know, someplace maybe smaller. I would probably think outside the box instead of using the general larger cities, maybe somewhere like Maine or you know, Rhode Island, somewhere secluded, or, you know, something that gives a kind of a countryside feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not necessarily a larger city with the hustle and bustle, or, you know, I could take it to a larger city and just kind of give it a more up-to-date feel.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah. So what products do you have coming up? I know you have Greedy, which we're going to get into in a few minutes, and then we'll let you read some more if you feel like reading some more of your book. I'm kind of going to let you kind of guide us on how you feel as we do this. I want you to be comfortable and take us into your world. That's what we want to do. This is all dedicated to you. So did you want to kind of talk about Greedy a little bit? Tell us about Greedy.
Okay. Greedy is basically about a young lady named Azaria who's always been taught to use her beautiful looks to get the things that she wants.
Okay.
But coming from a life of poverty, a life of struggle, she meets a man named Malik who's successful, the epitome of everything that she wants to have and wants, you know, the type of man she wants to have, the type of life she wants to lead, the yachts, the money, the cars, the clothes, and they have a whirlwind romance within 6 months' time. And she begins to see things that don't quite add up. There are things that he's asking her to do that go beyond the normal boundaries of a marriage. And she begins to see that sometimes the people that you think you know, you don't really know them at all. You can't know everything about them, and especially when you meet and marry someone that soon. And it kind of, in doing that, can jeopardize, you know, everything that you hold dear. So she kind of, she starts to find out a lot of things about him that are to her own detriment. That she's making sacrifices that could be to her detriment in the long run, but she just doesn't know how to get out of it. I can't really tell you what it is, but
yeah, no, don't tell me because we don't want you to do that. But I tell you what, it sounds very interesting what we got, and let me take this time right now. Anybody out there that's listening, why don't you just give us a call right now and ask Shay some questions about her upcoming projects and things that she's doing. The number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio, Grown Folks Radio, and we can talk about anything grown folks on here. So, yeah, that does sound pretty good, Shay. I tell you what, when that book comes out, when is that book dropping?
It's supposed to drop mid-July, maybe August. So it's
Well,
during the summer.
I tell you what, when it comes out, I'm definitely going to be looking for it.
Okay.
So you make sure I want a signed copy, so you know that we have to. I have to talk to you about that. Okay. Well, yeah. Well, that's good because you know, and so I know you're still writing. So Greedy is coming out. You already got Everything You Owe Me out now, and then you have Tell Me No Lies. So I know there's some upcoming projects that you're working on, and I know you say you want to do the paranormal deal. So is that going to be the next project, or do you already have something on your plate right now?
Well, I've been throwing around an idea for a new story right now, and I've been brainstorming for the last few weeks, and I've been going between taking a little hiatus and just relaxing and getting into reading, because that's what I like to do. But I find myself picking up my laptop and kind of doing outlines and coming up with story titles, and you know, I don't have a definite idea right now, but I am kind of throwing that around. So I really don't have anything concrete going on right now as far as a new novel, but I have an idea.
Okay, well, that's good. That's all you need, some type of idea to keep you going, because we definitely want you to continue to write and keep it going. So is you have a big future, I'm sure. Are you going to be staying with Holly Grove?
Yeah, as far as I can see, you know, right now, I have nothing to say but yes. So, I mean,
okay.
Right now I can see into the future, but as of right now, yeah.
Well, I think you got a great future with that publishing company, so that's really good. And Mr. Brian Smith is a great author himself. So wanted to ask you, too, let's see. I have some projects that I like to do with you in the future. And, of course, we'll talk about that and see, you know, where we can go with that. Because, like I said, I'm interested in what you do. And I know you have you've done some other stuff, too. You did an anthology out there, Bedtime Stories, which is kind of on the side that I like, the erotic side. So can you give us a little on that?
Actually, that was – I got to tell you, Red, that was like stepping outside the box for me.
Okay.
Tell
us. Do tell.
I mean, I you know, even though I write contemporary fiction and I'll put some hot and, you know, some steamy sections into the stories, erotica is a whole different ballgame because it's more explanatory, is more detailed, and it's more of a sexual nature, and that's what, you know, it's a storyline, but the sex is what drives the story. So
right.
For me, it was kind of like stepping outside of a comfort zone.
Yeah.
But it was fun once I dove into it, because I was like, okay, and as I was writing the short story, I was like, oh my goodness, am I really thinking these things? Am I really putting this on the paper? You know,
right,
I was kind of
right.
Sitting there blushing at myself, like, oh my goodness, okay. So I didn't know that.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying I didn't know I had that in me, but apparently I did.
Yes, you do. You know, it's like this. When you write your stories, and I can tell you from my experience of writing erotica, when you write erotica stories, if it's not going to arouse you, then how do you expect it to arouse your audience? So
exactly. So
when you write these, I mean, and you did say that the stories kind of are supposed to, the sex drives the story. Well, you know, it does to a point, but the way I write my novels, as far as that goes, because I don't want the book just to be about sex. You know, you want to have the drama, and you want to have a plot that's going on that leads to the sex. So when you do that, that's how you drive people to continue to read, because if they're just reading sex from page to page, they're going to get bored, even though it might be hot. So, you know, you got to have some other stuff going on in there, you know, that's going on. So I don't know if you had a chance to read any of my novels, but if you get a chance, you know, check it out and see what you think, and I would love to get your opinion on it. I know it's a lot of sexual stuff that goes on in there, but it's not really about that. It's the story that's outlined around it that leads to the sex, and that's what you have to do when you write the erotica, because it's like, why are they having sex? You don't want to just read that they're having sex. You know, you want to wonder why are they having it, and what led up to that point.
Exactly.
So we try to do that. We try to do that in our writing. And like I said, I'm blessed to have four novels out there now. Actually, I got an anthology that just dropped about 3 weeks ago called Natasha's Love. Yeah, thank you. And we want to definitely, like I said, if you want to dabble again in that, I would be honored to have you, because we're gonna do a Contagious Lust 2. So that'll probably be sometime next year to give you time, like you said, to get yourself in the direction that you want to go. And if you're interested, I would love to have you do maybe a couple of short stories for that if you're interested. So we'll talk about that and see if you want to do it. Because I know a lot of people are, I'm not going to say a lot of people, but I think a lot of African-American people are not scared of erotica, but they're at a point where they're like, if people know they're reading it, they might think they're being judged. What do you think about that?
I mean, I'd have to agree with you on that.
Yeah.
I'd have to agree with you on that. A lot of people do think, you know, I've come across a few people, they're picking up books, and I know it's erotica. I can see that it's erotica, but they'll try to hide it, and I'm thinking, you know, why be ashamed? It's stimulating reading, and if it's written well, it could be a great read, and it just opens you up to maybe your own sexuality. I don't know, but, I mean, you shouldn't be ashamed of something that's been done through time. So
yeah, because like I said, I got a novel that's going to drop at the end of the year called Closet Freak, and I think a lot of people are, when I say the name, when I tell people about this book, you know, they like to say, oh, is you writing about me or whatever, but then when they're around other folks, it's like they don't want to talk about it because they're like, wait a minute, you know, I don't want people to know about that, you know, so that's the reason why I wanted to write that novel, is because I wanted to kind of let people, if they read it, they can see themselves in it and kind of laugh because it's funny. We should be open about our sexuality and be happy about, you know, being able to do that. I mean, you know, it's nothing wrong with it, you know, and just because you're in church or whatever the case is, I mean, God created sex. So, I'm not saying go out and have sex with everybody, but I'm just saying, you know, you can read these books with your husband or your significant other or whoever. You know, it doesn't have to be that you're out there and you're screwing everybody. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I mean, I would love to, you know, have you involved in that, you know, and I you know, would have to talk to you about it because I don't know if it would conflict with your contract or anything like that. But I tell you what, it'd be great to, and I want to read that because I haven't had a chance to get that. Is that book out now already, the Bedtime Stories?
No, it's not out. It's not out yet. It's been, pushed back so far. So I haven't had any news about it as of yet as far as what's going to happen with it. But the process has been stalled for a moment. So.
Okay. Well, you know, that's one thing about when you work with a lot of authors, too. Sometimes, you know, you have some authors when you try to do an anthology. From the experience that I had doing this one that we just dropped, you have some authors that will try to, that will tell you that they'll commit to it, and then they'll drop out or something like that, you know, so you kind of, you know, it's a hard struggle, you know.
Right.
But tell us, what do you think about the game as far as the literary game itself? Getting in it and being in it now, what is it about? Because there might be some people out there that's listening that's interested in that. But before you answer that, if you want to call in, it's 347-215-8539, and it's Word Sexy Radio. You can call in and talk to us and ask questions to Shay and myself if you'd like. But I just want to get Shay to answer the question as far as the literary game. Tell us a little bit about your experience and what you've seen so far.
Oh, my goodness. What I've seen and what I've learned thus far is that it's a very, like being an R&B artist, it's very competitive. You have to constantly reinvent yourself. You have to constantly be on your hustle, and you have to, I've learned that you have to learn to take negative criticism along with the positive, and I've had to learn that, you know, you cannot please everybody.
Exactly.
You have to do what you feel is, you know, the best course for you and write to the best of your abilities. And there's, for every 10 people, for every one person that does not like what you write or doesn't agree with what you write, there's always 10 or 15 more that do.
Right.
And I've just learned that you should have a lot of faith in what you're doing. And if it's a dream that you have, don't give up on it. And it's just that it's basically the literary game is very, very competitive.
It's hard. It's, I think it's harder than the R&B game, if you want to know the truth from my experience, especially in the genre, my genre. Oh, man.
Right.
Like I said, I'm having problems with people trying to admit that they even read this kind of stuff. So, you know, and then they look at you like something's wrong with you, but then they come behind closed doors. Yeah, I want to read it, you know. So, I mean, just read the book. Buy the book. Nobody got to, you know, it's, you know what I'm saying? If you want the book, get it. You know what I'm saying? That's all I got to say.
Right.
You know, it's just nothing wrong with it. But I think we got a caller. Is there a caller out there?
Yes, there is. Can you hear me?
Yes, I sure can. And state your name and where you're calling from.
Calling from Kansas City, Missouri. This is Wayne Longfellow.
Oh, how you doing, Mr. Longfellow? You have any questions for Shay this evening?
Yeah, I do. Actually, I've got a question for both of you. Number one, let me start off by saying, Red Snapper, I'm a huge fan, devoted, loyal and devoted reader. Keep them coming.
Okay, and, I'll definitely do that.
Thank you. And for both of you, my question is this. Do you, the books are so detailed and so specific, if you're comfortable answering this, are you any of the characters in either of your books, or are you living vicariously through either one of the characters?
Okay, is that for me or is that for Shay?
Both of you.
Okay. Well, first let me explain. I'll let Shay answer first because her book is a contemporary book, and I think she can answer that a little easier than I can. So I'm going to – Shay, would you like to answer that question, and then I'll come in.
Yeah. Sometimes with the characters, it just depends on – the type of story I'm writing, you can live vicariously through your characters, but with this particular novel, it's just all made up in my head. None of it's me. None of it is actually has to do with me. I've had several people ask me that, which character is you? Unfortunately, in this book, it's from none of my experiences at all.
Okay. All right. Well, and for me to answer your question, none of the characters in these books are me. No, I'm lying. No. well, it depends. Now, there is a character in my series, Scandalous Motives series, that I would say, I'm not going to say it's me, but it's kind of, he has attributes of me, if I could say that. There are some things that I took from myself that I put in this character. And if you read my books and you know the series, then there's a character called DeMarco. His name is DeMarco. And if I had to say that I was one of the characters in the book, then I would say that I would be that individual. And, of course, you would have to pick up the book and read it now to find out if you haven't. Who is DeMarco and how does he fit into this deal? Okay. But most of the characters, like I said, all of it comes from my head. I've made it all up. It's not something that I experienced or seen in my travels, although I was in the military for 22 years and I retired out of the Army, and I have been around the world a couple of times. It's just experiences of things I've seen of other people do, and some of it I just kind of made it up. Like a lot of people ask me the real question, if Shay doesn't mind. There's a group in my book that's called the Guild, which is a secret society of a sexual secret society. So a lot of people ask me. I've had people actually come up to me and ask me how can they get into this organization, or how can they actually be part of something like that because they're looking for that. This again goes back to what we were saying earlier. That when you write something and it's fiction and you make it up, you have to write it in such a manner that it's believable. And that's the goal of any author that's trying to get to his or her audience, where they want to get out there and they want to make these stories real. But now this guild is kind of real, but it's not this organization is not real, this in the book. But you never know. You might find one somewhere if you look hard enough. So did you want to add anything to that, Shay?
I think I'm good on that one.
I knew you were going to laugh. I heard you. Okay, sir, did we answer your question?
Yeah, you did. Now, I didn't want to put you on the spot. I was just particularly yours, now, but your books are so detailed. And
So what do you think? What do you think about the? What do you think about the detail? I mean, you're talking about the. What do you when you say detail? Are you talking about the sexual content or just the book itself?
No, actually, in the sex is sort of a backdrop to an actual plot. The sex is, you know, kind of like real life. I mean, you know, you work, you have ups, downs, highs, lows, and somewhere in between it during you have sex. You know what I mean?
Right.
Your whole life isn't centered around sex. Your whole life is centered around life and events and things that actually go on, and that's sort of like your book. Sex is a backdrop, and it's not overdone. The stories are so specific, and it wasn't. I wasn't speaking specifically about the sex. Just some of the incidents and some of the things, or some of the encounters that some of the characters, or the situation the characters have encountered too. I was just wondering if those are real life situations. So.
Well, you know, some of those are probably real life to someone. but not to me. I just kind of made them up, and that's I've always had a imaginary mind, and I've always came up with stuff, and I used to always just had a great imagination growing up anyway. And when I started getting serious about writing 2 years ago, writing where I would publish, then I just kind of took those things and just went forth and tried to put those scenarios in the book. And I'm sure Shay does the same thing in her stories because, like I said, if you haven't read her book, Everything You Owe Me, you need to get it and read it because it's a great novel. And she has a very, very, how can I say it, a fantastic future ahead of her. And I really want to get with her and work with her because I know she's going places. I want to get on her coattail and, you know, follow her. So Shay, please, when you get rich, please don't forget Red Snapper, okay?
I most definitely will not forget about you, Red. Trust
you know, just bring me into the fold some kind of way because I tell you what, I enjoy what you do, and I want to be, you know, that great author, too, where people can enjoy the work that we put out. And that's what it's about for me. And, you know, yeah, you want to get paid, but it's about putting out a product that people will enjoy and will talk about it. You know, they go to book club and they talk about it and stuff. And are they on the street talking about it? You know, I've even had people come up to me and ask, is there going to be a series, actual, you know, series on TV or something, or maybe a movie. So I've thought about trying to do a screenplay, which I don't know. I'd have to learn how to do that because I don't have that experience. But I've thought about that myself. But back to Shay. Let's get back to her. Have you thought about something like that, Shay? Like getting into the like movie stuff maybe in the future, you know? Because, your stories are good enough. Yeah, your stories are definitely great enough to become a, some type of movie. But first, caller, are you still there? I'm sorry. Did you get your question answered?
Yes, and I want to thank you, and thank you again, Shay, for being so candid. And can you tell me, we're going to find your book, your novel?
Yes, you can go to Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. You can also go to the Holly Grove Publishing website and order the book from there. And you can go into the bookstores. If the book's not there, you can request that it be ordered as well.
Oh, very good. I would definitely do that. And thank you for taking time to answer my question.
Caller, before you go,
I just wanted to let you know this that Shay is also a local author from here, too. Did you know that?
I did
not. We have talent here in Kansas City. She's local, and I'm just glad to know her.
Well, very good. I look forward to reading you.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you for calling in.
Thanks.
Okay, Shay, we got like 22 minutes left.
Okay.
Is there any shots or anything you want to do? Anything you want to do, it's your time, baby. What you want to do?
Well, I mean, you got anything else you want to ask me? You want to know?
Well, you know, there's lots of things I want to know. But, I mean, I don't know if you want to talk about that. But I tell you, I'm just intrigued with the work that you've done and what you're doing. And do you have any upcoming book signings or anything like that coming up where you're going to be going different places where where people might see you in the future? I mean, because, you know, this radio station is nationally. So are you going to be going places?
Well, I don't have anything set up right now for the immediate, in the next couple of weeks or anything, but I am working on that. I will keep you updated. As far as, you know, getting the word out to where I'm going to be, what's going to be hosted, any book signings in town or, you know, any area where people can come out and get the books. So I've been looking into, even going to a few beauty shops. I've been invited to a few beauty shops to do, you know, book signings to not only increase, you know, sales for me, but to increase clientele for the beauty parlors as well. So I've got some things working.
Well, that's good because I'm going to tell you, that's where I make my money, in the beauty shops. That's where you make it, where women, you know, and like I said, you know, the books that I write, not that men don't write, as you heard, the male has written or read my book, but there are people, mostly women, I would say probably like 95%, maybe 90% of the people that read my books. And so you got to go where your clients are going to be. So that's a great idea to go to the beauty shops and do book signings and stuff like that because that's great. And you know what I'm going to do, Shay, if it's okay, when I start, because I'm going to be starting to do some things here coming up. I got another Word Sexy coming up sometime in April, either in the April-May time frame. If you're not doing nothing, we can have you be part of that and bring your books there, sell them there, whatever you like to do. You know, any events that I have that's coming up, you know, our book signings that I got coming up, you know, I will definitely keep you in mind if you'd like, and we can get you, you know, booked in and get you there. Is that all right?
Okay. That sounds good to me.
Yeah, because, you know, I want to help you. I want to help you get there just as much as I want to get there. I'm not one of those kind of people that grind out here hard and then get there and then leave everybody behind. You know, I feel that if you're someone who is doing well in their work like you are, and all you want to do is get your work out there and you know, of course you want to make something while you're doing it, but I know that you love what you do. So that's why I'm willing to assist and help as much as I can in helping you get there. Not that I'm so much further than you or anything like that, but what I'm saying is we're both trying to get our work out there, and we want people to know about us. So why can't we help each other do that?
Exactly. It would be, oh, my God, it would be so great if everybody had the same thought process as you do.
But they don't. Trust me, they
don't.
I mean, there's a lot of haters out there. I mean, in the game, and that's what you were kind of saying earlier. You know, it's a lot of people out there. They see your books. I mean, I've had a couple of authors who had requested my book, read it, and then tried to dog it. I had one, and I'm not gonna say her name. She read my first novel and she gave it 3 stars,
mm-hmm.
and said that there shouldn't be no part two, and why did you waste your time writing this book, blah, blah, blah. And then I asked her, I said, why did you do that? Because, you know, if you had a problem with the book, then you should have came to me instead of putting it out there, putting me on blast, is what I call it, out there like that. I mean, if you didn't like it, that's fine, but you didn't have to do that. And then she retracted it, but the damage was already done. So I would never do that to another colleague or another author that's trying to make it. Whether I thought the book was good or not, I wouldn't do that.
Exactly.
You know,
that's
just not good. But you have that problem with a lot of these people out here, because they're haters and they do that, and it's a shame. But I'm not that kind of person. And I want to help you. I want you to get ahead as well as I can. And it's not about you doing better than me or me better than you. It's just trying to get out there, you know, and just do it.
I wish you so much success. And, you know, I'm not in this game. It's like I said, when I say it's competitive, you and I both know it's extremely competitive, and there's a lot of hating that goes on.
Especially now, because you can publish. You don't even need publishing companies anymore. You can get out here and publish these books and get them out there. The hardest part of the whole thing is marketing. And like you said, the big thing is getting out there and marketing yourself to a point to where people would notice you and notice your work. You know, that's the thing. But, the game is hard. It's just like you said, there's a lot of people out there that hate on you and all of that. But she actually dogged my book. And then I went and read one of hers to see why she dogged mine. And I could, you know, she didn't do – I ain't going to say her book was bad or nothing, but I could see why she probably dogged mine, because my plot was a little better. But anyway, but like I said, I'm not going to go out and try to hate on nobody or nothing like that. And I know you won't do that, because from your personality of you and what I've met, I know that you're not that type of person. That's why I know you're going to go forward very far in this business. So
thank you.
But I'd like for you to take this time right now, if you could, and just kind of give out some shout-outs and stuff like that to some people who may have supported you up to this point, and, you know, just kind of thank them a little bit, you know.
Okay, well, I definitely like to thank the Most High, Allah, because without him blessing me with this gift and this love of penmanship, I wouldn't be able to do this. For all the people that have read my book and supported me and went on Amazon and posted great reviews. Even I would like to thank the people that are not particularly, you know, that my book doesn't particularly interest them or they think it's not up to their taste. I'd like to thank them as well, because that only adds fuel to my determination to succeed.
Right.
I'd like to thank my mother for her support, my sister for her support, Brian at Holly Grove Publishing. He's been a great publisher. Sometimes he believes in my work more than I believe in it sometimes. And I just like to thank you for having me on the show.
And I'm going to have you again, so, you know, just look forward to that. If you'll come back.
Oh, sure I will. I will definitely. I don't mind at all.
Okay. Yeah, well, I tell you what, I'm glad that you came on, and, you know, it's like I said, you know, I think the hardest thing for me right now has been getting my books, which I'm sure you haven't had this problem as probably as I've had, is trying to get to these book clubs with my book, because, like I said, there's certain book clubs that will accept my book and some that won't. Now, I've had one in the city that actually read the book, and at first they didn't want to do it because they were scared. Like I said, the people that was in the club were scared that people were going to find out about their sexual whatever. This book is not about them. You know what I'm saying? But you know, they take it like that. And then when they did read the book, they found that it was more a book about sex. It was about things that was going on in people's lives, and sex just happened to take them from one step to the next. You know, like the guy who called in, you know, he said he was more intrigued about the plot than the sex. The sex was good. It was everyday life. So, and that's what I try to do. You know, you call it erotica, but, you know, it's not really erotica. Really, it's contemporary. The only thing different that I do in my books that probably that you don't do is, as far as the sexual piece is I actually say the four-letter words that you may not mention in your book. That's really the only difference. You know, I might go ahead and say a different word, or describe a piece of anatomy in today's language. Basically, mm-hmm. what people are thinking anyway when they read the book. I mean, if it's not there, they're going to think it anyway, so I just put it there so they don't have to worry about it in front of them. So that's the only difference. But I do try to, I really, really do try to, you know, take my time and coming up with plots and stuff that would draw people to keep them. And I know you do that too. So whatever your project's going to be, I wish you the best in that, because I know you're going to come up with some great stuff, and I could see you doing something with the paranormal and have a sexy female vampire that's intriguing these men, and they just fall for her, you know, and just, you know, I could see that. I could see you doing something like that.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to sit down and talk about it and have back and forth about, you know, the storyline, and I think we can definitely get something popping on that end.
Yeah, I would definitely like to do that. And like I said, whenever you're ready, I want you to take your time. There's no rush in this. You know, when you're ready to do it, you'll let me know, and we'll go ahead on forth with that. Because, like I said, I got two projects that's coming out now. Like I said, I just dropped the one book, and I got two more that's coming out this year. Because, you know, Shay, I don't know if you know, I got my own publishing company now. So Midwest Publishing Group has been started about 4 months ago, and we're growing and trying to get it built up where we can publish ourselves here. So instead of going through somebody else, we can just do everything on our own. And whenever you know, when it comes up like I want it to, and if you feel like you're not happy where you are, or if it runs out, you know, you can come here too, or you can stay with them and still, you know, sign with us. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just putting that out there. I'm putting that out there, let you know that you have a home with Midwest Publishing Group and Red Snapper if you want it.
Well, I appreciate that. I definitely appreciate that.
We're going to get you out there one way or another, so. And you ain't got to write, and you don't have to write erotica, because the way the company is set up, it's going to be, you know, where you have the contemporary genre, the urban genre, because I want to get some authors that are writing the urban stuff, because that's pretty big now too, and you know, some of the erotic stuff. So we got three divisions within under one umbrella. So So you'll be able to fall anywhere in there and do what you want. So, and you know, like I said, I'm just glad that you came on. We got about 10 minutes left. And I tell you, I can't wait for Greedy, because I know it's going to be good. The title itself right there is pulling me, because I want to know what this woman want to do. I mean, you know, well, and why do you laugh so seductively when I say Greedy? I mean, it sounds so, you sound so good when you do that. Because you know what's going on, and we don't. That's why.
Yeah, I know the inside secret to the story. I must definitely
do. Oh, man. Tell me this, Shay. It's seductive, isn't it? It's a seductive book, isn't it? It may not be completely. You can say that now. I mean, you can tell me, is there a lot of seduction going on in the book? Or...
I mean, there's some points in there where I'm sure readers would be like, oh, my. You know,
okay.
Wow, okay. I mean, because I think that certain scenes I was a little bit more descriptive. I kind of stretched the scene out, you know, the get your blood running scenes. That's what I call them. Get your blood running scenes.
That's it.
You know, so.
I know you said it was something for you new when you started, when you did the bedtime stories. So is it something that you don't read yourself a lot of? Is that why, or how do you feel about it?
I am a big fan of Zane.
Really?
I love her writing. Yes, erotica, I'm not ashamed to say that I have read erotica. I'm not against reading it. If it's a good story, it's just a good story.
You need to read Scandalous Motives, man. Come on now.
Well, I'm up for reading it. I'm definitely up for reading it.
Yeah.
I mean, where can I get it? And I will definitely
I could have swore I gave you a copy of that book.
Yeah, you know, and I did so much. I actually moved, so I packed up stuff and packed it down, and I have no idea where it is.
That's all right. We'll get you another one, baby. No problemo.
Okay.
Because you gotta have all three now. See, and then see this book that's coming out in April is not part four, but it's a prequel because it's called Memoirs of a Creole Crime Cartel, which explains one of the characters. Because a lot of the fans wanted to know about this one character, so I had to write a whole novel about that character because they were asking for the history of this person and how they got the power that they got. So I went on ahead and wrote a whole 400-page novel explaining how they got to where they are today. So it starts out back in 1961 when they were born up until now. So she would be a cougar, but she's my age, so.
Okay.
But it's not me. I'm not a girl. So, but the book is I think it's going to be a good book. But like I said, you know, I am vivid in my explanation of sex because I go detail. It's like the reason why I do that is because I want people to actually see the sex in front of them when they're reading it or even imagine themselves in it. So that's the reason why I write that way. And I think that when you said in your book that it's descriptive like that, I think that that's what you're saying. Not only to stretch the scene out, but to give that reader that feeling that you want them to have.
Right.
And I think, and I'm sure you've done that. So, like I said, I can't wait to get the book. I would like to, you know, get it, and I'm going to make sure I get a signed copy from you, and that's what we're going to do.
Okay.
So,
that sounds good. That sounds good. And like I said, we definitely will have to talk about collaboration on a project.
Yeah, definitely. Because, I would like it to be, whatever we do, we'll talk about it and get it to its, however we want to do it, where we can write some pieces and put it together and look at it and see if it makes sense. You know, it'll take a little while, but I think we can do it. Because there's other authors out there. I can't say the names of them right now, but I know there's a male and female group that's out there right now, collaborated authors. They have this series called The Cartel that's out there. It's pretty good. And they've written these together. And they're great authors on their own, too. They have their own books out, but they just came together and did a couple of series together. So,
right.
But, hey, like I said, I'm glad to have you on. I'm glad you took time out of your busy schedule to come on. And we definitely going to want to have you in the future and, see where you're going and how things are going. And like I said, I'm going to definitely keep you up on, things that's going on in the city that you can definitely bring your books out because they're always looking for people, to do things. Like one of my frat brothers, he runs the First Fridays deal. I mean, there's always ways you can – that's a good place to sell books too, and some of those genres and things like that. So.
Okay.
We can get you out there. We got some projects, some things coming up, and I know some things that's going on that you can definitely just say you want to do it basically, and set up and sell your books.
Okay.
That sounds
good. Just let me know and I'm there.
Okay. Well, you got the phone number, so don't be a stranger. And like
okay.
I said, this is Word Sexy Radio, and hopefully. Those who called in and wanted to get their questions answered did, and we got about 5 minutes. I know it's a little time, but you can still call in 347-215-8539 and talk to Miss Shay before she goes on and conquers and continues to create in her world. I tell you. So, Shay, let me ask you this before we go. Are you originally from Kansas City, or Or are you originally from somewhere else?
No, I'm originally from Texas.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you think about this city?
I love Kansas City. I absolutely love it. Yes, it's
mm-hmm.
it's an eclectic mix of people. It's diverse.
Mm-hmm.
It's so many things to do, and
right.
coming from a smaller town to a larger city over 11 years ago, and I haven't wanted to change it since. And I think that if I ever left Kansas City, it would probably be for another large city. I'm a city
right.
girl now.
Right. I understand that. Well, we're glad to have you here in our city, and like I said, when you become famous, we're going to claim you as a native, so you might as well just keep that in mind when that happens, so because you're already getting there. You're on your way right now. So, and you're a very
you
pretty woman. I don't know. It's not that. We're going to get there together. But, hey, those of y'all that have never seen Shay, you need to look at her. She is one beautiful woman, I must tell you. So if you get a chance
Thank
to see this woman,
you.
She's definitely going forward, so. And I've always wanted to tell you that, Shay, but I never had the opportunity until now on my radio
thank
show to say that. So,
thank you. Thank you.
All right. Well, I tell you, so you made my day. And like I said, we got about 4 minutes left. I know that there's somebody out there that has that dying question that they want to ask. And the number is 347-215-8539, Word Sexy Radio. And I tell you, we do more than just talk about sex. I know everybody thought when they see Word Sexy, they think it's just sexual stuff. But we did have a question on here, Shay, and I'm not trying to embarrass you, but we had a question on here about why do men want to have a freak in the bed, but when it's time to get married, they don't want to have one? And maybe if you want to, you can kind of answer that a little bit. What do you think that is? Why are men stupid like that? I know that was a question you wasn't looking for.
I think... Why do they want a freak in the
yeah.
bed but not to marry them?
Well, you know, I think my problem is this. The problem that I see that what I'm seeing with these guys is this, and then I'll let you go ahead and answer. It's like they want all this great sex, and then when it's time to get married, they worry that she had all this experience from somewhere, and then they don't want to take her home. I that's stupid. So what do you think?
I think that most men generally, they say they want that, and they want, say, if the woman they're going to marry, they want them to be more open to things. They want them to do all kinds of things that normally would be considered out there. They want them to do these things for them, and then they start questioning why the woman is doing it. So it's like a double-edged sword. Do you really
right.
want a freak, or do you really want someone you can take home to mama, but, you know, one that you can take home and still get your needs met? So it's kind of like a double-edged sword for us women when men want that requirement, but when you give it, then it's like, oh, my God, what have I gotten myself into?
Yeah, that's messed up. But I tell you what, I want a freak, so now, let me tell you, I don't care if she was a freak last week, 2 weeks ago, or whatever. That's what I want. So we can take home the mama or whatever, it doesn't matter. But that's me. That's why I'm called Red Snapper. So, you know, it's just the way it is. You know, I'm not going to sit back and be, I ain't taking her home because of that, you know. So guys that feel that way, I don't know what's wrong with you, but that's not the way I feel. So, and I thank you for giving us an answer on that, Shay. And I thank you for calling in, and please come back to the show again. We're going to let you go now because I know you got things to do. So you just go ahead on, baby, and keep on creating, okay?
Okay, thanks, Red.
Okay, and I probably will call you right after the show just to talk to you for a second. But all of you out there that's listening, just make sure that you get a chance. If you didn't get a chance to call in, you can still listen to the show because it's been recorded. You can go on Word Blog Talk Radio and listen to the show. And just tell all your friends the number, 347-215-8539. We are here every Monday, so you guys can come in. Call in. The time is usually 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And don't be scared because we're going to have some subjects on here. We've just been kind of mellow, but we're going to start building it up, so y'all better get ready. This is Word Sexy Radio. Thanks a lot, Shay.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. So all of you people out there in radio land, like I said, you make sure you get the book, Everything You Owe Me, by Shay Nolan. And where can we get it, Shay?
You can go to Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, the Holly Grove Publishing website at www.hollygrovepublishing.com. And you can also go into bookstores and ask for the book. If it's not immediately available, you can request it.
All right. Well, this has been Word Sexy Radio, and I'm your host, Red Snapper, and we got about 2 seconds, and we're gone. Okay, Shay, you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, the show's off now. You did great, baby. That was absolutely magnificent. How did you feel about it?
I felt great about it. It was fun. I love it. Okay. I really love it.
Well, you definitely got to come back on the show. We want you back, okay?
Well, when you invite me back, I will be more than happy to come back, and maybe we'll have something else to another project to talk about. So.